This morning we'll be talking a little bit about relationships. Yeah, I know. Yeah. Usually, some rough things come to mind when you talk about that word. Relationships, though, I mean, God exists as one, right? Father, Son, Spirit, together as one. The very essence of God is relationship. We were created with the need for relationships. We need a relationship with our God. We need a relationship with one another. As much as you may be a strong, independent person and not think that you need anybody, we all need each other. We need relationships with God and with one another. God's command, right? If you do this, you got it down, you nailed it. All the law and the prophets of the Old Testament, everything in the New Testament is to love God and to love others. And you can only do that through relationship. You can only live out God's command through relationship. Our life's purpose. No matter how unique you were created, no matter how different your calling and destiny is in God, you can only fulfill your life purpose through relationships with other people. All the gifts of the Spirit are relational. They're about other people. I mean, you know, not only are relationships just critically necessary for life, but God created relationships for something awesome, because some of the best experiences that we can have in life, some of the best memories and the things that just we cherish forever happen through relationships. Some of the most valuable assets that we possess through life's ups and downs, we possess those things through relationship. Although relationships can be incredibly rewarding, as we're all well aware that there's no great reward without great risk, right? Anybody playing the stock market game right now understands that, right? You know, there's risk involved with reward, and it's no different with relationships. When you open yourself up and you're vulnerable with somebody, you know, in relationship, not only are you opening up your life to be blessed, to be loved, to be cherished, to be appreciated, to, you know, have all those things, but you're also opening up your life to some pretty serious hurting, right? It's a risk that you take. And after all, if God commanded us to love, what does that mean? It's not going to naturally happen. Naturally, you're going to get burned by people, you're going to get hurt by people, you're going to get hardened by people, and you're not going to want relationship, you know? Living in a cabin out in the mountains, you know, without anybody around, you know, that's ideal for some of us, you know? I think I've heard God call me into the missions field in Alaska a few times, you know, usually while watching Discovery Channel, you know? There's just something about that life that seems pretty good, you know? Maybe that's why God hasn't healed me of diabetes yet. I don't know. Maybe that's the only thing keeping me from it. But relationships, they're hard. They are challenging. They are difficult. If God commands us to love, that means that relationships with people are not always going to be easy. It's not going to be easy to love at all times. Otherwise, God wouldn't have to command it. If relationships were all just amazing and beneficial, and we just received all the reward, God wouldn't have to command us to love people. We'd just be doing it all the time, right? Because there's no risk at all. In reality, however, as we're aware, difficult things happen in relationships. Although some of the best memories can be formed through relationships, some of the things that wrecked your life probably happened as a result of somebody else in a relationship you had with them. Some of life's greatest letdowns, some of the things that just killed you inside, they happened through relationship. And I'm not even talking about like just bad things, you know, people being evil and doing bad things to you. I'm talking about even people you love so deeply, and then they were taken away, they passed away, or they moved away or something, you know, just loss. Relationships are challenging. They are difficult. And if you think that you've been in some, like, relationships with people who are just selfish and even abusive, I mean, think about what Jesus went through. You want to talk about a bad relationship, you know, and being unequally yoked. That was pretty much Jesus' entire life. I mean, after all, he did everything right, never once sinned. He did everything that he did for the benefit of other people. He expressed love perfectly toward everybody. And what did those people do? All that they did was accuse him. They manipulated his words. I mean, they flogged him, they scourged him, they hung him on a cross. Yet Jesus never turned his love off toward other people, even from the cross, extending forgiveness. I mean, think about that. Think about your own relationship with Jesus, if we're going to be honest with each other this morning. I mean, come on, I put Jesus through some pretty hard stuff. I've been pretty selfish in my relationship with him. I've put him through some pretty serious abuse. I've misrepresented his name. I've misspoken on his behalf so many times. I've put him through a lot of stuff, and yet still, his love remains. His love remains. His goodness remains. He is faithful always. We are so fickle and faithless when it comes to relationships, especially a relationship with God. I mean, our relationships are mostly based on emotion, mostly how I'm feeling, mostly what my circumstances are, right? Our love can be so quickly turned on and off, that quickly, you know, and I can see a lot of spouses kind of not wanting to look at their other significant other, right? But it's true, you know? I mean, if somebody wakes up and they haven't had their coffee yet, you just don't talk to them yet. I mean, you know, I'm not saying that's an expression of God's unconditional love, you know, but it just, it's a reality. We base our relationships on emotions, while God bases his relationship with us on himself, an unchanging truth, the things that are certain always, that we can always be certain of. And what makes relationships so difficult? What makes it, I mean, there's a lot of different reasons for that. And I did a little research, and man, when you look across the board from numerous different studies, numerous different sources, secular and Christian alike, there's one consistent issue that almost always rises to the top. One of the top reasons that relationships are difficult, at least from our perspective, it's always been labeled as a communications issue. Right? A communications issue. That's usually what we label when we have difficult, challenging times in our relationships. Whether it be a marriage, a friendship, an employer, a contractor. We ever work with a contractor and there's some miscommunication that went down, right? You know, whatever the relationship might be, issues that arise in those relationships, it usually gets blamed on either a lack of communication or a misunderstanding, a miscommunication. And although this is confirmed over and over again by therapists and psychologists and human resources departments and across the board, I found it interesting that you find all of this in human reasoning, but when you go to the scriptures, I couldn't find anywhere where God said there was communication problems, where people just weren't talking or they just weren't, you know, communicating effectively. The Bible never calls out communication as a relational issue. And so I struggled with that for a long time, actually, long before this message. And then God brought this revelation that I wanted to share today, that I felt like this is the time that God wants to speak this with us. The reason I believe that God never calls out in his word communication as being the problem in relationships, especially the lack of communication, is because he created us as communicating beings. You cannot stop communicating to everyone around you. You just can't, right? I mean, I've seen it floating around on Facebook, that meme about, you know, it's, you know, that my mouth is quiet, it's my face that needs deliverance, right? You can't hide what you're thinking whenever you're talking to somebody. You can't help but communicate. We're constantly in communication with everybody and everything around us. That's why communication, from God's perspective, I believe, is not the root issue, and we're going to get to that. But think about that. Think about sitting right here, right now, in this service, right? You know, it may look a little bit like that, I don't know. But think about that. Most of you aren't even saying a word, and yet you're communicating. And if you've ever stood up in front of a group, you saw those communications, right? And in fact, even if you are talking while the service is going on, that's communicating something, right? Right? You know, what I'm talking about is more important than what's happening elsewhere. It communicates something. You know, maybe you found yourself kind of staring out the window. When I've been in your seat, you know, like I was just, you know, recently, man, a car goes by and I'm just like, but that's me in life. I'm like that dog, like squirrel, you know. You know, maybe it caught your attention, or the birds out there, you know, pulling up their worms in the morning. It's you know, you never know. Maybe you've laughed a few times, or maybe you're staring at your phone. I mean, Mario Kart came out, and my kids, they just, that's all that they do. And I played a little myself, you know. You know, maybe that's what you're doing this morning. Maybe you're taking notes, diligently paying attention. It's communicating something. Maybe you've caught yourself, like I talked about, you nodding off for a nap. I've been there and done that. Those seats are a little comfortable, you know. It's hard, you know, especially, I mean, last night I was up till 4 in the morning with my work, you know. It can be hard. You sit down in that chair and, you know, it's difficult, but it communicates something. You know, maybe you're clapping or shouting or amening. That's communicating something to people, right? Maybe you've rolled your eyes a few times or crossed your arms and maybe shaking your head like, what are you talking about? You know, all those things are communicating something, and you can't stop. The crazy thing is you're probably not even thinking about communicating in that way, but it's happening. You can't stop communicating with everybody around you. It's happening all the time, and you can't shut it off. Even when it's not intentional, it just happens. So communication is really not the problem. That's not the root issue. I mean, think about that couple that's seeking out divorce, you know? Becky and I, unfortunately, have been in situations where we've dealt with this. And usually, that's what they say. You know, it's just a communications problem. They won't listen to me, or, you know, whenever I talk, or the wife's chasing the husband around, and he just wants left alone. Like, just give me some, like, listen, I don't want to, you know, do this right now. They say that they have communication problems, but after listening to what they say for a few minutes, you find that they're communicating all kinds of stuff. There's no lack of communication. There's no problem with communication. They're communicating plenty to each other, right? You know, they've said so much by maybe the way they spent money. That communicated something, right? Especially buying that new bass boat without asking your wife, right? That communicated something to her. You know, maybe being on your phone during dinner, you know, whenever you take her out on date night, or, you know, hey, it's work calling, I'm sorry, I gotta, that communicates something. You know, maybe it's by never planning those date nights, right? That communicates something. Maybe it's by the way you discipline your kids, or when you both forget to pick your kids up from practice, and you said you're gonna do it, and you said you're gonna do it. Anybody ever been there? And your kid's like, hello? Like, I need picked up, please? It communicates something to each other. It can be something as simple as the way you close a door. It communicates something. The way you walk across the floor. It communicates something to your spouse. It does. All these things. They communicate to each other by leaving messes around the house and never picking up, right? You know, never putting the seat down, never putting the lid on the toothpaste. Those tiny little things communicate so much to the other person. It could be expression on their face, the way that they dress. Even being totally and completely absent, even working long hours and not coming home and always finding, even when you're not absent, you're communicating something to your, you know, significant other. Not only that, at the workplace, when you show up late, when you just don't show up, or when you call off sick all the time, you're communicating something to them. In relationships, you cannot stop communicating. And the littlest things say so much. I'm telling you, those little actions speak so much more than all the words you could ever say. And I know that even in our church, we've dealt with this over and over again. I found myself saying, they have the right heart. You just need to get to know them better. They didn't mean it by that. Eventually, after you've been saying that for years, it's probably not true. You know, what comes from the mouth comes from the heart. There probably is a serious issue. Like, we need to stop excusing ourselves away. I'm talking about this personally. If somebody misunderstood you, don't put the blame on them. Oh, well, you don't understand. Once you get to know me, you'll learn, you know. No! You have a problem if everybody's interpreting something. You need to change something. I need to change the way I'm communicating with other people. I need to change something in my own life. It's called humility, right? You know, all these things, you're constantly communicating. So what is the true issue? If communication is not the problem in relationships, what really is? And the Bible talks about it from cover to cover over and over and over and over again. The Bible labels the true issue in our relationships as not communication, but as understanding. We don't understand each other. And I know it's sort of it's still communications issues, but it's radically different. And we're going to learn about that this morning. There's a difference between labeling this as a communication issue versus labeling it as an understanding issue. That is the root of most relational issues that we deal with. It's an issue that plagues us every day, in our everyday relationships with one another. But it's also one that plagues churches and ministries big time. Not understanding the world around you, not understanding where people are at and where they are coming from. You know, we have such an easy time judging people without taking the time to get to know somebody and understand where they're coming from. Our ministry would be so much more effective if we were a little more humble, a little less prideful, a little quicker to listen and slow to speak, right? All these things that the Bible tells us to do. If we just lived out what God tells us, we'd be so much more effective at reaching people for Christ, reaching people with the good news of the gospel, if we just took time to understand. Now, understanding goes way beyond what we're perceiving from other people. If you think you know what someone else is thinking, you're probably wrong. If you think you know why somebody is the way they are, you're probably wrong. If you're basing it on your own past, your own history, what you think is right, then you're wrong right off the get-go. Jesus Christ was completely right in every way, and what did he do? He became wrong so he could understand us, so he could relate to us. He humbled himself so that he could understand us. If God himself chose to do that, how much more do we need to just put away our prideful, arrogant religion and put on humility and understanding so that we can really hear where people are at and why they're thinking what they're thinking and why they're hearing what they're hearing? It goes beyond perception. Understanding humbles ourselves and it honors others. Understanding, it literally syncs up our communications so that we are accurately knowing how to interpret the information that we're perceiving. Understanding is, it's like a personalized dictionary that enables us to accurately translate what's being communicated to us. And it's all on us. It's not on the other person. It's on us learning about that person and hearing that person so that we can understand them. And this picture I thought was so cool because of that. Because you may see all this jumble before and like, what's your problem? There's just something wrong with you. Like, you know, go get help. It changes your mindset from that to, oh, okay, now I get it. Now I understand. And, you know, and that's sort of what I do whenever I'm understanding. I'm like, okay, yeah, that's okay. You know, now I understand. Now I get it. It's like building up a personal dictionary so that you can understand and translate people. That's what understanding is. It's me learning you and being able to comprehend what you're communicating to me. Now, understanding doesn't mean that we agree with the other person. It doesn't mean that you agree with the way that they think and the choices that they make. It just means you understand them. You have knowledge about them. It enables us to accurately hear what they are saying, both with and without words. It helps us to understand what they're communicating. In fact, the more time that we spend with somebody, the more that you actually build up and correct that dictionary that you have of somebody. And we know this, especially for you know, people who've been married for an extended period of time. You get to know somebody when you just live life together that long. But it's the same with your friends. It's the same with your coworkers. Anybody that you spend a significant amount of time with, you build up this dictionary of understanding about them, right? You get to know exactly what somebody is thinking or feeling, you know, without them even saying a word often. You can read their expression, or you see their foot starting to tap, and you know what's happening inside of them, right? You begin to understand these things, not because you're assuming or judging, but because you've taken the time to build a relationship, and you know that person that well. You may not even be near them. I love this, like with coworkers. You know, you're not even in the room, but you overhear somebody say something to them. And you know exactly, like, what's the look on their face. You know exactly what they're thinking. You know exactly what they're going to say, right? Because you've taken time through relationship to build up that understanding that you know somebody that well. You know, it's a bit like a situation like this.
Frankly, I don't want to discuss that. But if you'd like, we can talk about ways that I can improve the airport or our many wonderful parks.
I don't. I'd like to talk about you and Ben Wyatt.
Uh-oh, I know that look. She got the crazy eyes.
Well, like I said, I don't want to discuss it, buddy. And frankly, I don't appreciate your condescending tone.
Yeah, do you have that relationship with some friends? Like, oh boy, I know that look. I know what's coming now, right? Right? I mean, come on. You build up a dictionary of understanding of that person. Understanding has the power, like this radical, transforming power to break up our hardened hearts toward people, to break off our religious thinking, and to fill our hearts with the compassion and empathy that Jesus maintained toward people. Think about the way he was treated, and yet he still loved them. He never grew hard-hearted towards people. Even hanging on the cross, he didn't have a hardened heart towards what they were doing to him. That's understanding, like at its pinnacle. That's the kind of understanding that we need to have. We need to be able to keep our love on toward other people, no matter how unlovable they are. Now, I'm not saying that you keep yourself in abusive relationships. What I'm saying is that you need to build up this understanding of people and to have compassion toward them. Whenever we understand somebody, it enables us to see others not just as who they are now, but also what forged them to become that way. Why they think the way they think, why they behave the way that they behave. It enables us to see things the way that they see them. It humbles ourselves and it honors them because we start seeing things from their perspective. Even though we don't think that way or we would never see things that way, it helps us to understand people and where they are coming from. You know, just one little piece of information can radically transform our perspective about somebody. You may have this opinion formed about somebody already, and then you learn one little thing about their past, and all of a sudden it completely like demolishes the framework that you'd build up, that opinion that you'd build up of them, and it rebuilds it. It changes the foundation of your understanding of them. Though that other person doesn't change at all, though the way they're communicating with us doesn't change at all, our understanding radically transforms the way that we perceive them. And that understanding can all happen just from one little piece of information. You know, think about this, and I'm stealing this from a marriage seminar, but, you know, there was a story that he told. I don't know whether it's true or just fictional to drive home a point, but I think it was true. If any of you have ever traveled cross-country, you know how challenging that can be. You know, I did it with just my brother-in-law in a pickup truck, you know, and it's a long trip. Some of those states are really long and really flat and really boring, you know? Those interstates, man, anyways. But if you travel on a Greyhound bus cross-country, I've never had that experience. I wouldn't want that experience. Like, we travel on a bus just for a little piece, and, you know, it gets awkward and cramped. And Susie's been there, right? You know? Not the best of experiences, traveling Greyhound, you know, cross-country. Well, anyways, this was happening. And it was a crowded bus. So everybody got on time, and they're waiting, and the bus driver's waiting, like, you've got 5 more minutes, and we're taking off. And finally, this man and 2 kids get on the bus, and they're having a hard time finding a place to sit, so that the man finds a place in the back of the bus. The kids, they're just kind of running rampant. And so as the trip goes on, and the kids are getting more rambunctious, they're misbehaving more and more, and this man is just sitting there staring out the window, like completely ignoring these kids that he got on the bus with. And so people are getting irritated, and finally everybody looks at each other enough, and they decide somebody's got to speak up. And so this one guy gets enough bravery, he gets up, he walks back to the back of the bus, and he's like, "Excuse me, sir." He's like, "I'm sorry, but are these your children?" He's like, "Yes, they are." He's like, "Are you going to do something about it? I mean, they can't, this is a safety issue. Like, they're going to get hurt running around like this, and they're annoying everybody," and he's going on and on and on, you know. And finally, the man who's been staring out the window responds. He's like, "I'm so sorry." He's like, "Their mother just passed away, and we're on our way back home." And all of a sudden, with that one little bit of information, that bus full of people who was so irritated by those kids, all of a sudden, they're just loving on them. They gather them up in their arms, and they're, you know, talking to them and sharing stories with them. Those same kids that were driving them up the wall, all of a sudden, they're not hard-hearted toward them. They love them, and they're compassionate toward them, and they reach out to them, and their heart just breaks for them. Nothing changed except for that one little piece of information. That's understanding. That's what we need to seek after and desire, is to understand other people, because there's just one little bit of information that you don't know that could break your hardened heart toward them. Then all of a sudden, you're not annoyed by them anymore, and you don't want to just avoid them anymore. You want to reach out to them, and your heart just breaks for them, and it just longs for what they've been through or whatnot. Now, what happens with the lack of understanding? Right? We know that little meme at the beginning, you know, at the Tower of Babel. We know what happens when there's misunderstanding and miscommunication, right? It never goes anywhere good, does it? Never lands anywhere good. God said things like this, Isaiah 55:13. He said, "Therefore, my people, they will go into exile for what? For their massive sins against me," right? For their what do you call it when you're cheating on somebody? For their what toward me? Their adulterous behavior toward me. Is that why they're going into exile? No, God said it's because of their lack of understanding. All those other things were just evidences of their lack of understanding of who God is and what He expects of us. All the other sin that, you know, is just a symptom of their lack of understanding. That's why God sent the people into exile. I never caught this before. It's right there, black and white, Isaiah 5:13. Isaiah 6:9, and then Jesus quoted it in Matthew 13. And He quoted many scriptures about the lack of understanding that you don't catch until you see it. He said, and he quoted from Isaiah, he said, for these people's heart, they've become hardened and calloused. They barely hear with their ears. They've closed their eyes, right? Because you need those two things to understand other people, don't you? An open ear, an open heart, an open mind, open eyes to see things from their perspective. Because he said this, otherwise, they might actually see with their eyes. They may hear with their ears, and they might what? Understand with their hearts. And what did Jesus say would come when we start to understand people from the heart? God said, I will turn and I will heal them. Man, sometimes our deliverance, our healing, is that close at hand. Us becoming understanding instead of hard-hearted toward people. Isaiah 27:11, for this people, they are a people without understanding. So what? Their maker, capital M, and this is God speaking, has no compassion on them. Their creator, capital C, God himself, shows them no favor. Why? Because of their lack of understanding. Jeremiah 4:22, my people, they're fools. They don't know me. They're senseless children because they have no understanding. Hosea 4:14, a people without understanding, they come to ruin. Ephesians 4:18, they're darkened in their understanding. These people, they have chosen to separate from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. I mean, these are just a couple of scriptures. There's hundreds of references to the lack of understanding and what ugliness comes from it. And why we, as a people of God, are ineffective in our ministry. Why we are stagnant and not growing in our faith. It almost always trickles down to a root cause of a lack of understanding. Man, Ephesians 4:18, that just like cut me to the core. These people, they are darkened in their understanding. Therefore, they're separated from the life of God. All because of their own ignorance due to the hardening of their hearts. Man, Proverbs says that everything, every life issue comes from the heart. But there's good news. There's good news in all of this. If we are intentional about gaining understanding, if we seek after it, if we remain humble and teachable, everything can change for us. You can receive then that one bit of information that changes your perspective toward other people, that helps you to understand them, that syncs you up and brings you together in a relationship. We can become so effective in every area of our lives. It's not just about ministry. You can become so much more effective at your workplace if you learn to get along with people because you understand them. You can become so much more effective in your family if you take time to get to know your kids and to understand things from their perspective. You can be so much more effective anywhere, in any organization, in every relationship. You can actually get further with that, you know, cashier at Walmart if you just stop, try to put yourself in their shoes and try to understand where they're coming from. You know, just try to understand. Proverbs 2 says this, turn your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding. This is something we have to do. It doesn't happen automatically. Automatically, I am a hard-hearted, hard person. I will make you cry, and I will think I'm righteous in it. Let's just ask Becky. We used to read scriptures, and I'm like, see, I don't have any problems. I don't have any issue with any of these things. Yeah, I know. As she rolls her eyes and shakes her head, this literally happened in her bedroom when we were dating. I look back at the person I used to be, and I just cringe at some of the damage that I did in relationships. You know, I actually met with my previous pastor before, and his wife in our home. I don't know if I should share this or not, but I did it. I can't believe I did some of these things. I met with the pastor and wife, and I told the wife, I don't have any respect for you. Ah! I had to apologize to her afterwards. I'm like, I don't know what I was thinking. It's ridiculous. How could I be that way? But pride and arrogance, man, they lead to a fall. Why? Because they harden your heart, and you don't even think about understanding other people and where they're coming from. So that's why the Word of God constantly tells us to do this. We have to intentionally do this. Apply your heart to understanding. Cry, call out for insight. Cry aloud for understanding. Look for it as for silver and search for it as a hidden treasure. Then you'll understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. You see, we think we need to get more of the Bible crammed into our brains And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. But the Word of God itself is clear that it's, you gain an understanding of the fear of the Lord and the knowledge of God through what? Through understanding. By calling out for it, by crying out for it, by looking for it and searching for it. You have to be intentional about this thing. It's like gold rush, man. You get a few flakes out of the ground, you spend an entire season and millions of dollars to get just a few ounces. I mean, that's how valuable understanding is. It's worth going through all the junk in life to gain a little bit of it. That one little flake of information is all that you need to unlock your understanding of somebody or understanding of a situation. Understanding takes work and it takes effort. It doesn't automatically happen. We have to look for it. We have to seek it out. It takes time and it takes humility for you to build a relationship with somebody you don't understand. I have an easy time with tech geeks. We just understand each other. I love dressing up and going to Comic-Con. I just, you know, whatever. I'll just fit right in, you know. Now, to hang out with somebody who's, you know, a mechanic, I know a little bit. I know enough to be dangerous. I know enough to screw things up a lot, you know. So it's not as, you know, as fun for me, you know. I don't have an understanding. It takes humility to hang out with people and to get to understand people that you don't usually relate to. That's exactly what Jesus did, right? That's why he was called a drunkard. That's why he was called a demon. That's why he was called, you know, all these things, a glutton. Because he took time to hang out with people and understand them. Didn't agree with their decisions. He didn't leave them that way, did he? You know? They changed after they had an encounter with Jesus. But he understood them. And we have to be like him. Take time to understand. Now, how important is understanding to God? Well, when God chose to fill Beelzebul with the Holy Spirit, one of the first people ever to receive that blessing, the infilling, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, and what did he gain? Understanding. All these other traits and skills, but he gained understanding first and foremost. When leaders were chosen of the tribes of Israel, what did God say they need to be a people of? First and foremost, they need to be a people of understanding. When Solomon was gifted by God, we always say that God gave him wisdom. What does the Bible actually say? Gave him wisdom and understanding and a discerning heart. See those three things that always go into hand in hand? Heart, understanding, and wisdom. God, it actually says that in the Bible that God established the heavens by understanding. And once you see how critical understanding is, you start seeing it everywhere in the scriptures. I mean, literally, Jesus is the embodiment of understanding. The whole reason he wrapped himself in flesh, the whole reason he became tempted and weak and tried, the whole reason that he hung out with people like you and I is so that he could become a high priest who can completely understand you. Complete, total understanding. He can relate to you because he's been there and he's done that. And he had victory in it every time. It was for understanding. Daniel was exalted and blessed, even when he was in exile in the service of his enemy. Why? Because he had understanding. Go back and read it. First thing in Daniel, he had understanding. Even at the day of Pentecost, when believers were filled with the Spirit, and they were speaking in tongues, and other people from every other nation were understanding what they were saying. What was it all about? It was so that those other people from other nations and other tongues could understand the glories of God and the wonders of his kingdom. It was so there could be an understanding. It was to bring everybody in so that Peter could preach and they would understand and that they would repent and change their hearts and change their minds. It's awesome. The Greek word here, tsunami, translated to our word understanding, I believe describes it best. It's defined in the Vine's Expository Dictionary as to set or to join together in the mind through perception. It's for a big definition. To set or to join together in the mind through perception. And that word set, it's kind of like when you set block in cement. Like when you take stones and you put them in cement, you set them there. So that they fuse and they become one. That's that train of thinking. That is what understanding is about. It's about us being on two completely different planets and yet coming together with understanding. That's what understanding is all about. It syncs up your minds. It helps you to translate so that you understand where somebody's coming from. And we gain understanding. So all that being said, I know it's a long, wordy message. And it's a lot to chew on and a lot to think about. So here's the simple practical side of it. How do we gain understanding? Well, we go back to the day of Pentecost at how they gained it. It says, amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, what does this mean? That is the tool that God has given you to dig up understanding, to seek for it, to search for it. He has given you the ability to ask questions. Not to ask questions like, what is wrong with you? Why are you such an idiot? Why are you such a fool? Not to accuse people with questions, but to truly ask, like, you know, okay, well, why did you say that? What are you thinking? Like, I'm an arrogant person. So I have a hard time asking that it doesn't sound accusatory. But asking with a real heart of trying to understand it, trying to wrap your mind around where they're coming from and why they did what they did and why they see things the way that they do. We ask questions, and that's how we gain understanding. They're the primary tool that God has given us. Asking genuine questions that come from a teachable heart leads to understanding. You may still completely disagree with somebody, but at least you come together in your minds. At least you sync up in your mind and you see things from their perspective. You humble yourself and you honor them and you see from their perspective. Even though you may not agree with it or totally understand it, you begin to see and perceive where they're coming from. Asking people questions in order to learn about them, that's how relationships are built. That's how your relationship is built with God. God, how would you handle this? What would you say here? And then you dig into his word and you learn more about him. Or he just reveals it to you through the Spirit. Same way that you get to know, anybody. Whenever you start a new job, you ask your coworkers questions, you know? So what do you do on the weekends? Or, you know, you learn about people. Your spouse, you spend a lot of time learning every little detail about them, asking a lot of questions, you know, and sharing with them. That's how you gain understanding, and that's how you build relationship. When you ask questions, it broadens our knowledge and our compassion when you humble yourself to learn from their perspective. Listening to people, to learn about them, it opens up this channel. It opens up this conduit. It's like cracking open a dam in a river that allows the love of God to actually flow. Asking questions about somebody when you genuinely want to know about them, they feel loved. They feel cared about. You feel like somebody actually wants to get to know them. You have no idea how transforming that is for some people. Because they're used to everybody just making judgmental decisions about them and chalking them off as this or that and labeling them. They're not used to people actually taking time to ask them questions and to get to know them, you know? Even people, you know, you say you just got out of jail, you know, well, hey, what happened? And you hear things from their perspective, and you may not agree with it, and you may not, you know, whatever, but you understand. You learn where they're coming from. It's powerful. It's transforming. Questions lead to understanding. As we ask questions, another amazing thing happens. We start to find common ground with people that you would never have otherwise. You know, like my personal situation, when I start to ask people about things, they start explaining things and talking about things. And I start learning things from them that I never knew before. And you start finding then this common ground where you do relate to them and you can completely understand them. And that common ground, like, gives this firm foundation for a relationship that would have never existed otherwise had you not taken time to just ask them questions. Finding common ground coupled with understanding, it makes us more effective at discipleship, right? Because Jesus calls us in the Great Commission to do what? To make disciples, teaching them to command everything that, you know, to obey everything that I commanded you and taught you. The process of discipleship has to start with, like, that pin on a map. You are here. Until you understand somebody, you'll never take them further into an understanding of God. You'll never lead them to Christ. You'll never even get them saved if you don't understand where they're at. You got to understand where they are before Jesus can effectively use you through relationship to lead them anywhere else. You've got to understand where they're coming from. You have to kind of go where they're at to lead them where they need to be. That's exactly what Jesus did. That's why he hung out with the people that he did, to lead them from where they're at into a greater understanding of who God really is, how he really treats us, you know, and what his kingdom is really like. Finding that common ground helps us to be effective at discipleship. It enables us to reach people where they're at and to lead them into God's purposes for their lives. Again, going back to reclamation, You got to go out and find where they're at before you can start allowing God to rebuild their life to who they're supposed to be. Understanding, it also keeps our heart soft the way that Jesus's was. Understanding is what I believe enabled Jesus. He went through the seven woes about the leadership of his people. He had some serious problems with the leaders of his people. But at the end of those seven woes, he says, "How I've longed to gather you together like a mother hen gathers her chicks." He is compassionate toward those same people that he had serious problems with. He is able to keep his love on toward them. He was able to still be compassionate toward them. It was what enabled him to know the thoughts and the sins of everybody around him and still love them and serve them and forgive them, even from the cross. So Ephesians 4 went on to say this. "So I tell you this, and I insist on it in the Lord. You must no longer live as the Gentiles do, in the futility of their thinking. They're darkened, they are darkened in their understanding. They're separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts." Man, is that a picture of the church today? Ignorant, hard-hearted, religious. Break all those things off and try to understand people where they're coming from, right? In verse 19, it says, "Having lost all sensitivity, they give themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity. They're full of greed." Boy, that's something we don't call people out on in the church very often, is it? We call it sexual immorality, but we never take time to call out greed, gluttony, right? These things are also in the lists of, you know, you don't enter the kingdom of God if you got them. Greed. "That, however, is not the way of life that you learned when you heard about Christ. When you were taught in him accordance with the truth that is in Jesus, you were taught with regard to your former way of life to put that old self off. It's being corrupted by deceitful desires. You're supposed to put on the new attitude of your minds. You're supposed to put on the new self created to be like God in true righteousness and true holiness." Now, true holiness and true righteousness, I believe, is found in understanding. Understanding your purpose in life, being set apart for him. Understanding what is truly right. Because look at Jesus Christ himself, fully righteous. He was fully right, and he chose to become wrong. And he never lost his righteousness through that. It's okay to be the bad guy, even if you did nothing wrong, if it leads to understanding. It's okay to bear sins that you never really committed if it builds relationship and builds understanding with somebody. Because I know in my own life, I've been wrong in situations that I thought were right. Being right doesn't make you righteous. Being right does not always make you righteous. The way you treat people, that defines your righteousness. Are you treating people the way you want to be treated? In your relationship with people, stop and think. If I was being treated this way, how would I respond? You may find that you would respond the same way that other person is. And you're blaming them for responding the way that they are, right? You ever been there? Exactly. Put yourself in their situation. Gain understanding. The sad thing about our culture today, the sad thing about turning on the news, and I watch it often, is that people's hearts have become so hardened that most people out there, especially people in the church, they'd rather believe the worst about somebody else than taking time to learn truth. You want to talk about fake news? It's rampant in the church. I even hear it here at New Hope around corners. Whispering and murmuring about somebody. Take time. Learn. Seek out truth. Don't assume the worst about somebody. Don't assume that Pastor Steve has a problem with Marie and he's going behind her back to find out the dirt on her. We laugh. People did that. People thought that I was trying to go behind Marie's back to learn bad information about her. What do you think about her? What's the problems you have with her? I'm extremely busy. I just made a typo. I forgot to change the name. That's literally all that it was. We've got to stop this if we want to grow and mature as believers and as a church. If we want to be more effective, we need to start understanding. You know my heart. Come on. If I ever have a problem with you, I'm talking to you about it, right? I mean, and if you have a problem with me, please come and talk to me about it. don't murmur and call everybody and assume the worst, assume that I have some problem with a leader here in the church. I would never deal with a problem with the leadership that way. So please, like, let's get on the same page. And I don't mean to go into negative stuff, but isn't that sad? I'm the same way. I'd rather hear the dirt on all these people involved in this Trump impeachment. I'd rather just point fingers at the Democrats and think they're just evil people, you know, than to take time to learn the truth and to think, okay, where are they coming from? There's obviously something here to this, right? But we don't, oh man, I'll probably get, you know, beat up for that. We, as sinful human people, want to believe the worst about people instead of taking time to gain understanding. You're supposed to cast off that old person, that old flesh, and embrace the new person in the Spirit. And the Spirit rejoices in what? Truth! The Spirit rejoices in understanding. The Spirit rejoices in unity. It is so beautiful in the kingdom of God when His people come together in unity. Even if you don't agree with each other, if you come together in unity, that's His goal. But most people would rather find a reason to reject and to look down on other people than to try to understand why other people don't like them, right? God's word insists that we live differently. After giving our lives to Jesus, we can't continue to be hard-hearted and ignorant-minded. We have to choose not to be darkened in our understanding, but to allow our understanding to become enlightened and to increase. And so, kind of in closing here, and as we go on from here, I know it's a lot of information, it's a lot to think about, but I feel like God wanted to challenge each of us in our hard-heartedness, because we all have hard areas in our lives. There's people that I just can't relate to, I don't understand. And I've got some pretty strong opinions about them. It's not right, necessarily. We all have these areas that we need to allow the Spirit of God to break up, because that is just ignorance. Nowhere in the Word of God does it ever encourage us to be hard-hearted. In fact, it's quite the opposite. Even in Ezekiel, over and over again, the prophetic promise of God in Ezekiel was to remove our heart of stone and to give us a heart of flesh. God wants us to be an understanding people. The Holy Spirit was given to us first and foremost so that we could be an understanding people, so we could be full of that, of understanding one another, and not full of the other stuff that we're always full of, right? So that we could be compassionate toward people. So we can love people with an unstoppable, unquenchable love. First value, core value of New Hope, an unconditional love. I can love somebody even if I totally disagree with them. Why? Because I have understanding. I understand where they're at. Don't agree with them, but I understand where they're coming from. So let's allow the Holy Spirit to do that work in our lives, to give us understanding, to broaden our mind beyond ourselves and to perceive things from the viewpoint of other people. Trust me, I'm going to be preaching to myself. I'm going to re-listen to this message because I am probably the number one offender in this. I have a hard time with this, understanding and seeing things from other people's perspective. That's why God yoked me with my wife, because she has a soft, tender heart. And she interprets for me very often of where people are coming from, you know. I'm like, well, just stop doing it. Just don't do that anymore. That's dumb. She's like, yeah, but you don't understand. Like, this is why they're doing it. Oh, you know. So if you ever counsel, it's always together. It's always her and I together, because you don't want just mine alone. You need that heart of compassion. But from this point forward, especially those people that you just always are just like shaking your head at, take time to ask them some questions. Invite them out for dinner or lunch and just get to know them. Ask about their past. Just like that bus story, you never know that one piece of information that could come out that totally changes your perspective toward them. All of a sudden, it unlocks your understanding and it builds a relationship with them. And as we reach out in genuine interest and compassion towards others, I'm telling you, Jesus is going to meet you in that place. You are going to start reaching people with the good news about Christ left and right. You're going to start being able to be a voice into their lives because you took time to build a relationship with them. You actually care about them. Not just because you're trying to shove their butt in a church or wherever else you want to manipulate and force people into. You break all that stuff off and you just genuinely care about them. Where they're at. without the motive of taking them someplace else, just caring about them where they are at, and then walking together into God's plans and purposes. That's always secondary. Jesus took time to build relationships with people. Even Zacchaeus, hey, I'm coming over for dinner tonight. Let's hang out. Salvation came as a result. Not because Jesus said, hey, short dude up there, you need to repent. You got some serious sin in your life, buddy. And now everybody here knows it too, right? Right, right? Do I hear some amens? Right? No. Jesus said, hey, let's hang out tonight. I don't even think Jesus shared the salvation message with Zacchaeus. Holy Spirit went ahead of him, did his work, and Zacchaeus repented and was saved and gave back everything he stole, and what, four times I think the amount? Like, that's what can happen if we as a church chose to just genuinely love and care about people. Try to understand them without any strings attached. Just love people where they're at. Just serve the needs that they have. People will get saved. Not because of hook, line, and sinker, and that's what you're trying to do. Just because it's going to happen. You are the light of the world. You have the hope of Christ in you. You have the Spirit of God living in you. You don't have to do anything or force anything to happen. Just be who you are, and God will be who He is through your life. Just take time. Take time to gain understanding. Search for it as if though it's a treasure. Seek for it as if though it's silver. Pretend that understanding is like your keys and you're 5 minutes late for work and you can't find them. Okay? That's the urgency you should have to understand people. We have that urgency to discount people and to label people and to just ignore them. We need to have that same sense of urgency to understand them. That's what the Proverbs teach us. So, all right, all that being said, let's just close in prayer here. And I don't want this to be one of those messages that it's long and boring, and I know I would probably be yawning through it too. I want this to be one of those messages that just changes something in our hearts and in our lives from this day forward, that it changes who we are. This is so powerful. It's so simple, yet it's so powerful that it can change everything for us. And I want that to happen in my own life. I'm desperate for this to happen, and I don't know how to make it happen because I can't make it happen. I just need to let it happen, right? Man, this is going to be, talk about the new hope. This is the key to it. This is a huge key to it. Oh, Jesus, forgive us, first of all, for hardening our hearts toward people. Man, I believe there's even some people here this morning that have a hardened heart towards God in some areas. Jesus, forgive us for growing hard and calloused. Forgive us for choosing to darken our understanding. For just writing people off, for just being that druggy, for just being that person just waste money, for just being that whatever, for being that gossiper. Forgive us for just being so ignorant toward people. Help us, Jesus, to live out your command to love others as we love ourselves, to start treating people the way we want to be treated. Jesus, we don't want people to label us. We want people to understand who we are. We want people to get to know us and to know why we are the way we are. Jesus, help us to be that people to others. Help us to be intentional about seeking to understand. Thank you, Jesus, for totally understanding me. For being able to relate with everything that I go through, all the things I struggle with, all my weaknesses, all my temptations, every time I blow it. Jesus, you can relate to that. Thank you for the understanding that you have, and help me to have that same understanding toward others, being quick to forgive them, always loving them, and never just shutting them out. Thank you, Jesus. Help us to be more like you. Give us understanding, Holy Spirit. We desperately need you to do this work in our lives. Give us a hunger and a thirst that is insatiable for understanding those around us. Help us to learn about them. Help us to understand them in a way that we never had before. Give us that piece of information. Holy Spirit, give us words of knowledge about people that unlock our understanding and our compassion toward them. Help us to be more like you in every situation and in every relationship in your name. Amen.